Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're going to be looking at ancient Israel, specifically their feasts.
Ooh, feasts.
Yeah, we're working with a lecture from Dr. Cynthia Parker.
Okay.
Now, what's really interesting about Dr. Parker is she was actually a chef.
Oh, wow.
Before she became a biblical scholar. So she brings this whole culinary background to her analysis of Deuteronomy 16.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I think we can all relate to food and how it holds memories, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, certain smells can take you right back to your childhood.
Exactly. But what's fascinating about the Israelites is that for them, feasts were way more than just, you know, enjoying a good meal.
Right, right. So what we're going to be uncovering today is why these feasts were so important to them. We'll be looking at how they tied into their history, how they tied into their identity as a people, and get this, even the land itself played a role.
It's really fascinating stuff.
Now, I know when we think of feasts, we might picture like huge banquets with kings and all this excess.
Yeah, like a big display of power.
Exactly. But the Israelite feasts, they were different.
They were. You see, for a lot of other ancient Near Eastern kings, feasts were all about displaying power and wealth. It was very much a look at me kind of event. But for the Israelites, their feasts were rooted in community. They were about celebrating God's provision and their covenant relationship with him.
So it's more about we than me, huh?
Exactly.
That's really interesting. So how did these feasts connect them to their history? I'm curious about that.
Well, they had three main feasts.
Okay.
Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. And each of these feasts was directly tied to their agricultural calendar, which, in a way, acted as this powerful memory trigger.
Like, imagine harvesting barley in the same fields where your ancestors celebrated their freedom from slavery.
Right. It's this visceral reminder of God's faithfulness passed down through generations.
Wow. So the land itself becomes this living memory.
It really does.
Okay, so let's break down these feasts a little bit. We've got Passover, and that happens at the beginning of the barley harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Commemorating their liberation from Egypt.
Exactly. Then you have the Feast of Weeks, which comes at the end of the wheat harvest. This one celebrates the bounty of the land and God's provision.
Okay. And then lastly, we have the Feast of Booths. That one's after the olive harvest.
Yes. And that one was particularly poignant because it commemorated God's care for them during their journey through the wilderness after leaving Egypt.
It's amazing how each of these feasts reinforces such a key moment in their history.
And to understand this whole concept of covenant, you have to remember that this was a sacred agreement between God and the Israelites.
Okay, yeah.
These feasts, held at this chosen place, often Jerusalem, were key expressions of that covenant.
So they weren't just meals. They were these deeply symbolic events that strengthened their bond with God and with each other.
Absolutely.
But this makes me wonder about, like, the inclusivity of it all.
Mm.
If these feasts were about celebrating God's provision, what about those who didn't have much to offer? Were the poor just excluded from these celebrations?
That's where it gets really interesting. Dr. Parker points to Deuteronomy 24, where it talks about leaving leftover crops for the poor, widows, and foreigners. This wasn't just charity. It was about ensuring that everyone had something to contribute to the feasts.
So everyone had a place at the table.
Exactly. It created this beautiful system of dignity and generosity. You know, landowners had to practice self-restraint, acknowledging that the land's abundance was meant to benefit everyone. And it meant that even those on the margins of society could participate and bring something to the table.
That's a really powerful concept.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about celebrating. It was about celebrating together.
Yes.
And these laws were, like, specifically applied to the crops that would have been harvested during the times of these three feasts. So barley, wheat, olives.
Exactly.
Everyone, regardless of their economic status, would have something to bring as an offering.
It really emphasizes this idea of shared bounty and communal celebration.
I'm starting to understand just how deeply woven these feasts were into their social fabric. But how did it actually work in practice? Did everyone just show up at someone's house or?
Well, that's where this whole idea of the chosen place comes in. Dr. Parker highlights the importance of having a centralized location for these feasts. Everyone from all corners of the land was expected to journey to this central location.
Often Jerusalem?
Often Jerusalem, yes, but it could be other locations as well.
So imagine leaving your own individual town or village and joining this massive gathering of your fellow Israelites.
Right.
Wow.
It was almost like they were physically stepping out of their everyday lives and into this shared space, you know, where their differences kind of faded away and their commonalities took center stage.
Okay, I think before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to pause here and get your take. What stands out to you so far about these ancient Israelite feasts?
Well, what sparks your curiosity?
Yeah, what sparks your curiosity?
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought, because we are going to continue our deep dive into these ancient feasts. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing to think about that journey, you know, everyone had to take to get to these feasts. It must have been quite the experience, leaving your daily life behind and joining this massive gathering.
It really was. And that journey itself played a role in shaping their identity.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Dr. Parker talks about how the places we live, they often influence our sense of self, our social standing, how others perceive us.
It's true. You become associated with your communities, with your roles within them.
Exactly. But during these feasts, those external markers of identity, they kind of faded away. By journeying to the central location, they were no longer defined by their social status or their occupation. They were simply Israelites, standing before God as equals.
Like a reset button.
Yeah.
Reminding them of their core identity as God's chosen people.
I'm curious, did this emphasis on shared identity play out in any other ways during the feasts?
Absolutely. Dr. Parker emphasizes the role of storytelling. Remember, these feasts weren't just about eating. They were opportunities to retell the story of their exodus from Egypt, God's faithfulness, and their covenant with him.
So each feast was like a communal reenactment of their history.
Precisely. It kept those memories alive, passing them down through generations. And it wasn't just the adults participating. Everyone, even children, were present, absorbing these stories and making them their own.
That's a beautiful image, this cycle of remembrance and transmission. It ensures their faith story continues to shape their individual and collective identities. And it all ties back to what Dr. Parker was saying initially about food and memories.
Right.
The Israelites took that concept to a whole new level, weaving those memories into their annual feasts, their agricultural calendar, and even the landscape itself.
It really is remarkable. Think about the Feast of Booths. During that feast, they would build temporary shelters or booths to live in, reminding them of their ancestors' time wandering in the wilderness. It wasn't just a story. They were actively recreating a key moment in their history.
It's like they embedded remembrance into their very way of life.
Right.
It makes you wonder, is that something we've lost in modern society? You know, that intentional design.
That's a really interesting point. It does make you think about how we incorporate remembrance and shared stories into our own lives and communities.
Yeah.
What are our feasts? Who do we include?
Do we have rituals and practices that help us connect to our past, our present, and our future as individuals and as communities?
I think it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and lose sight of those things.
Right.
These feasts offer a powerful example of how intentional rituals can shape not only individual experiences, but also our collective understanding of who we are and where we belong.
And they weren't just limited to a select few. Dr. Parker really emphasizes how inclusive these gatherings were.
That's right.
Everyone was invited, regardless of social standing or economic status.
Men, women, landowners, servants, Levites, foreigners, orphans, widows, everyone was welcome.
And they weren't just passive observers either. They actively participated, bringing their offerings, sharing meals, engaging in the storytelling, the rituals.
Exactly. It wasn't just about being present. It was about being fully engaged in the communal experience.
It speaks to a profound sense of belonging.
Yes.
Like they created a space where everyone, regardless of their background, could feel truly seen, valued, and connected to something larger than themselves.
It's a powerful reminder of the unifying potential of shared rituals and experiences. But, you know, I think it's also important to acknowledge that the reality of these feasts may have been more complex.
Yeah, good point.
While they were designed to be inclusive, we know that social hierarchies existed within Israelite society.
Right. It's unlikely that everyone experienced these feasts in exactly the same way.
Exactly.
But even with those complexities, yeah, the intentionality behind them is remarkable.
Yes.
The fact that they actively sought to create a space for unity and shared identity, that's something we can learn from.
Absolutely. They weren't perfect, but there's something beautiful about their commitment to fostering unity, generosity, and remembrance through these communal gatherings.
It challenges us to consider how we might do the same in our own lives and communities, doesn't it?
It does.
How can we cultivate those same values of inclusivity, generosity, and shared memory in our own time?
It's a question worth pondering. Perhaps these ancient feasts can offer us some inspiration as we seek to weave those threads of remembrance, community, and shared identity into the tapestry of our own lives.
I agree. There's so much we can learn from the Israelites' approach to feasting and community building.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive for today. What are some key takeaways you think our listeners should hold on to from this exploration?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway is just how intentional they were.
Yeah.
You know, about creating these rituals that fostered this sense of belonging, this shared memory, this connection to God.
Yeah, and those rituals, they weren't just like special occasions. They were woven into the fabric of their daily lives. Exactly. The agricultural calendar, the land itself, their shared meals, everything pointed back to their history and their covenant with God.
It's fascinating how they use something as simple as a meal to reinforce such profound concepts.
Right. It speaks to the power of ritual and shared experience. Think about how certain foods evoke memories for us.
Oh, yeah.
The Israelites took that idea and amplified it on a societal level.
It makes you wonder, what are the rituals in our own lives that serve a similar purpose?
Right.
How do we create those spaces for remembrance and connection in a modern context?
Those are great questions. I think it's important to be intentional about creating those spaces. Mm. It doesn't have to be as elaborate as an ancient Israelite feast, but it could be something as simple as sharing a meal with loved ones and telling stories.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's participating in a community event that connects us to our shared heritage.
It's about finding those moments, big or small, that remind us of who we are and where we belong.
Exactly. And remembering that those moments can be powerful tools for building community and strengthening relationships.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've explored the history, the symbolism, the social implications of these ancient Israelite feasts. What a journey.
It's been a fascinating deep dive, and hopefully it's given our listeners some food for thought.
Pun intended.
Perhaps. But in all seriousness, I think there's a lot we can learn from the Israelites' approach to feasting and community building.
Absolutely. They offer us a powerful example of how intentional rituals and shared experiences can shape our individual and collective identities.
And maybe, just maybe, by taking a deep dive into the ancient world, we can find inspiration for creating a more connected and meaningful present.
So to our listeners, as you go about your day, we leave you with this. What stories are shaping your life? Who are you sharing them with? And how are you creating spaces for remembrance, connection, and belonging in your own world? Keep diving deep.